In this session, we shall look at another CGT deferral relief, this being gift relief. A gift is a disposal for capital gains tax purposes. Therefore, the person who is giving away the asset, that is, the donor, could have CGT to pay even though he has received no money from the recipient. To calculate the donor's capital gain, we assume that sale proceeds are equal to the market value of the asset as at the date of the gift. This rule applies whether or not the donor and the donee are connected persons. Let us consider the situation where a donor, here we have called him Dad, gives away shares in a company called Dad Limited to his son. We are told that the shares are worth £200,000 at the date of the gift. To calculate Dad's capital gain, we simply deduct the cost of the shares to arrive at the gain. As far as the son is concerned, we assume that he has bought the shares from Dad for their market value, i.e., for £200,000. This becomes the son's base cost for CGT purposes. In the previous scenario, it seems slightly unfair that we propose to charge Dad on a gain of £80,000 when he has no money to pay the capital gains tax. Therefore, in certain situations, gift relief is available to defer Dad's gain on the gift of the shares. Gift relief is very similar in the way that it operates to rollover relief. Again, we will defer the gain on the first disposal, that is, on Dad's gift, by rolling over this capital gain against the base cost of the shares in the hands of the donee. Essentially, we are transferring Dad's capital gain over to the son. Again, let us consider the situation in which a donor gives shares to a donee. The shares are worth £200,000 at the date of the gift. We deduct the donor's cost to give the donor a capital gain of £80,000. The donee's base cost is the market value of the shares at the date of the gift, being £200,000. In certain instances, gift relief is available to defer the capital gain. The way in which gift relief is given is by taking the capital gain of £80,000 and deducting it from the base cost of the donee. Two things are happening here. First, the donor's capital gain is reduced to zero by the gift relief. Second, we are reducing the donee's base cost from £200,000 down to £120,000. This is what we mean by the donor's capital gain being transferred over and effectively given to the donee. Therefore, when the donee comes to sell the asset, his capital gain will be higher by £80,000 because of this reduction in his base cost. Finally here, let us consider what this base cost of £120,000 is made up of. Essentially, the donee's base cost will be equal to the donor's base cost. If the gift was made prior to the 6th of April 2008 in respect of an asset acquired before the 6th of April 1998, the donee's base cost will equal the donor's base cost plus indexation allowance. The revenue have therefore confirmed in a Statement of Practice No. 8 of 1992 that where the donor and the donee are intending to make a gift relief claim and the whole of the capital gain will be deferred, no formal valuation of the asset is necessary. This is particularly useful when assets such as unquoted shares are being gifted because, in practice, trying to find a value for unquoted shares can often be a painstaking exercise. It is important to note that not all gifts will qualify for gift relief. Sometimes the donor will be left with a CGT liability, even though he has received no cash proceeds. Before March 1989, gift relief applied to gifts of any type of asset. However, the current rules are less generous. Gift relief is available currently under two separate sections of the Taxes Acts, these being Section 165 and Section 260, of TCGA 1992. Let's look at Section 165 first. Section 165 allows a gift relief claim when the asset being gifted satisfies the definition of a business asset. Any number of shares in an unquoted trading company are business assets for gift relief purposes. Shares in a personal trading company are also business assets under Section 165. A personal company is any company in which the shareholder has at least 5% of the voting rights. The revenue will apply a 20% test to determine whether or not the company is trading. A company will not be a trading company if any of the parts of the test apply.
The first part of the test is that more than 20% of the company's turnover is made up of non-trading income. The second part of the test is that more than 20% of the company's assets are not used to generate trading profits. And the third part of the test is that more than 20% of the time of the directors, or more than 20% of the expenses, are incurred on non-trading activities.
This is the same 20% test that applies in relation to entrepreneurs' relief.
If the company is found not to be a trading company, gift relief will be denied.
Assets used in a business will also qualify for relief. Typically, these will include assets such as land and buildings, goodwill, or plant and machinery used for the purpose of a trade. The trade must either be carried on by an individual as a sole trader, or as a member of a partnership, or be assets owned by an individual and used by his personal trading company.
A furnished holiday letting qualifies as a trade for the purposes of the relief.
Finally, agricultural land and buildings used for the purposes of farming will also qualify for gift relief. Probably the most common asset that is not a business asset under Section 165 is shares in a quoted company where the donor does not have 5% of the voting rights. In most instances, therefore, gifts of quoted shares will not qualify for gift relief because it is unusual for a shareholder to have 5% or more of the shares of a quoted company. Remember, if gift relief is not available, the donor will have to pay capital gains tax in the normal way. Section 260 of TCGA 1992 allows gift relief where the gift is immediately chargeable to inheritance tax. This will apply when an individual makes a gift to either a discretionary trust or to other relevant property trusts after March 2006. In this instance, the type of asset being gifted is irrelevant, as a gift relief claim can always be made. For the rest of this session, we shall concentrate on gifts of business assets under Section 165. In order for the donor to receive gift relief, it is necessary for a specific claim to be made, either under Section 165 or under Section 260. In the majority of cases, the election is a joint election between the donor and the donee. The donor cannot make a gift relief claim on his own. He must have the consent of the donee. The only time when a gift relief claim is not a joint election is in the case of a gift to a trust. Gifts between individuals always require a joint election to be made.
The time limit for the gift relief claim is 4 years from the end of the tax year of disposal. Therefore, for a gift in the tax year 2010-11, a gift relief claim is only valid if it is made on or before the 5th of April 2015.
There are two practice questions to complete this session. We first calculate Mr. Kent's gain on the gift of the holiday cottage. Deemed proceeds are the market value of the cottage at the date of the gift. From this, we deduct the acquisition cost.
Mr. Kent has a gain before any reliefs of £40,000. As the furnished holiday cottage will be a business asset qualifying for gift relief under Section 165, a gift relief claim can be made, thereby reducing Mr. Kent's gain to zero. The gain will be deferred against Carl's base cost. Carl is therefore deemed to have acquired the asset at its market value, less the rolled-over gain. The deferred gain of £40,000 reduces Carl's CGT base cost, giving him a base cost to carry forward at May 2010 of £50,000. Carl sold the cottage in March 2011. His gain is therefore the sales proceeds, less the base cost of £50,000, giving a gain of £70,000.
The correct answer is answer C, as shares in investment companies are not qualifying assets for gift relief purposes. Any number of shares in an unquoted trading company is a business asset for gift relief purposes. In option B, the 6% holding of shares in Hammersmith PLC will also qualify for gift relief because Hammersmith PLC will be the shareholder's personal trading company. A property which satisfies the definition of a furnished holiday let will also qualify for gift relief. Furnished holiday lettings are regarded as business assets for capital gains tax purposes. This concludes this introductory look at gift relief. In the next session, we will look at situations where gift relief will be restricted.